Welcome to Our Two Cents, a collaboration podcast with A Penny for Your Thoughts. Join me, Sean Blumgren, and my co-host, Andrew Penny, as we explore exciting new concepts, products, and the science driving agriculture. We are committed to bringing you products and concepts we believe in by helping educate our listeners on the science driving these exciting innovations. As always, we greatly appreciate you, our listeners, and we love to have your feedback. On Twitter, at Sean Blumgren and at SciPathology, or email us at apennyforyourthoughts@gmail.com. Please like and share our podcast and our social posts. And thank you, as always, for listening. Andrew, I'm super excited to introduce. We've talked a lot about the idea of our two cents, but spring is actually starting right now as we're getting ready to release this podcast. And I guess just really excited about you and I getting to be part of the Groundbreakers process in 2023. You did some work with short corn even before that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This third year now.
Yeah.
Out of my farm. Yeah.
Yeah. So 22, got to come out to your place, to your family farm there, just east of Ames and see the product. But, you know, Andrew and I got an opportunity to go down to Marana and spend time with growers that were part of the original Groundbreakers launch. So the partnered commercial launch, if you want to say, with growers. One of the things that Bayer talked a lot about is, learning about this product and testing alongside of their growers. And what I'm super excited about is that we're going to hear from actual growers who had the product in 2023, what they saw that they liked, some of their concerns.
Full fields, not just the 7 to 10 acre blocks like we've done with agronomy trials. So it's big.
Yeah, it really is. And a lot of what you and I talk about, right? Like thinking about how do we access our fields? What things do we want to manipulate when we're in the field?
Yep.
Just really excited. We got to have a couple of our friends on that we've worked pretty closely with and excited to hear about them. Hope everybody has a great spring. Be safe. It's warming up. Are we green light to plant?
Boy, I guess given the fact that we don't know when this podcast is going to release, nor do we know the conditions, the agronomist and me we'll just say no.
Yeah, pay attention to every episode we've recorded before this and do that stuff. But Andrew, it's super fun, excited to release this stuff and hear from these growers.
Yeah, and I guess to add to this, just to get our listeners, cued into what we're doing, we had a long conversation about, how much time do we spend editing this and we have Bayer leadership, we have growers. So I think at the end of the day, it's just such timely information. We have so many new Groundbreakers growers this year with questions. We have dealers that have questions, it's just such relevant information. And I think this will give growers, some insight and maybe some, prevent them from having any worries about the product. I think there's a lot of questions. And so I think this is just such timely information. We thought about, again, do we spend time editing or to release it? And I think we're just going to, we have somewhat edited, but it's such good content. We figured we'd just release it now.
It's a great call. It's timely. You're right, to give confidence to growers and then just so our listeners know what to expect. So normally we do science and management. That's the way we run our episodes. We're going to basically do growers, real life grower experiences from 2023. That's going to be the first edition. The second edition, we'll get to hear from the leadership that we had an opportunity to spend time with in Arizona. So our two cents launch. And, we'll just say to all of our listeners, thank you guys for hanging with us for the last 3 years. Have a safe spring and looking forward to the feedback.
There we go.
Andrew, this is about as excited as I've probably ever been to record a podcast. We are here with Nick. Nick, super excited to have you. So we're at the Precion event in Tucson, Arizona. We spent time today at the Marana facility and really just spending the weekend celebrating the success and talking about the future of the Precion smart corn system. So Andrew, super excited to be here with you. And Nick, why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your farm and maybe where you're from.
My name is Nick Sabota. I am, we farm in Northeast Nebraska, about 10 miles west of Pender. We are a corn soybean operation. We do have some livestock. Everything that we plant is decalb asgrow. We're 15 inch on both corn and soybeans.
Wow.
Okay.
So we set ourselves a little different away.
You
short corn apart from everybody.
Yeah. There. Well, the Preceon system was made for you guys, I feel like.
Well, so. it was something different planting that this year, especially since our whole move to 15 inch was this year.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
It was a lot of learning going on.
I bet. Big. You had some really big changes then.
Yeah.
Before we talk maybe about the short corn system, tell me about what drove, I guess, maybe that decision. So were you 30s? 30 inch rows, traditional 30 inch rows. Tell me about kind of that process. So who are the decision makers in the farming operation, and what was kind of the process of making that choice?
So yeah, we've been 30s for as long as I can remember that I've been involved in the farming operation. And farming operation consists of my grandpa, my dad, and I. And we got done with harvest in 2022, and we're sitting there cleaning the combine up, and I just kind of said something, you know, we like doing trials every year and testing to see what we can do to improve our operation. And I've been reading some studies, and it said that 15 inch corn is about 7 to 10 to 11 bushel better than what 30s are, which we kind of knew that. I have a couple friends that do 20 inch row corn, and they've been very happy with that. So I said, well, we already got the planter. We have a split row planter. And I was like, we can do 15 inch corn with that. I mean, we just got to do a couple little upgrades. It's not like we're doing big equipment swings, and maybe plant 20, 30 acres. And oh yeah, yeah, that sounded like a good idea. And we kept drying off the combine by the time we got to the other side, and it's just like, heck with it, we'll just plant the whole farm to 15 inch row corn. And I was just like, oh.
That's wild.
Next thing you know, you have a 300 bushel farm average.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a really, really dry year this year. It was actually the last 2 years been really dry, and it just kind of kept trickling down, and was very surprised. A lot of our very high yielding corn was in the bottoms, and going into it, we're a little nervous that we jumped to 15s, and we did do some strips of 30s this year, and we're like, I hope this was the right move, you know, because rather than doing a small deal, you're doing your whole farm. So you're banking on this being a good option. And it's everything that did in the bottoms as we're going through at the combines, the valleys, and even some of the hillsides, we're like, yeah, if we had 30 inch row corn, it would have been doing at least this. And we're like, this might be even doing a little bit better. And just like with the leaf coverage, and you know, you're keeping the ground moisture, we had locked in there, and keeping the ground cover good and trying to keep it cool.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious, with your traditional tall corn, obviously with short corn, you know, we had some different populations that we tried. With your tall corn, did you guys make the jump, or did you keep everything on par with what you'd been planting at in terms of plants per acre?
So we kept the population the same. We don't variable rate anything. We're just the old ground driven planter.
Yep.
So we set it 31,000. That's what we planted everything at. Obviously the Preceon system, they wanted to do the jump up population, and we went to 36,000 on that. And that was still probably 20 to 30 bushel better than what everything else was on the farm.
Wow. Which really?
Was impressive.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. You know, this whole event is about showcasing technology and getting growers to think different. What was your, you know, I'm sure you've heard about the Preceon and short corn system prior to planting it. What was kind of some of your expectations going into this? Was there anything you were nervous about, or was it kind of just more excitement overall thinking about, you know, shorter stature corn, less potential for wind damage, you know, getting in there?
Ear placement. That was a worry. They said they kind of had it set to a height where it was going to be good. And we did notice some of that this year with the ear placement, you know, going through draws and watching the head move through it, you'd really have to hug the ground. And even in some of the really dry spots we had, it was just a little bit lower than what we would have liked. But I mean, overall, there wasn't a whole lot of worries putting it out there. I liked the fact that it was going to be 6 to 7 foot tall. You could take a ground rig over it and do your fungicide with it if you had the machine for it, rather than hiring an airplane to come in. And it just, the whole windstorms, because we get a lot of windstorms. We had two of them this year came through, and that very last one that came through end of September, 1st of October, it flattened a lot of corn around our area.
Really?
Completely flattened the fields. Okay. And we came back, and we're going through insurance and everything, and the green snap and wind damage that we had was probably 20 to 30% less in the Preceon system.
Okay.
Wow.
Than what it was in the traditional tall hybrids.
Yeah.
2020, when the derecho came through where my home base is, I didn't even know they had short corn out at that point. So it obviously wasn't, you know, commercialized, but I got a message from somebody internally and they dropped me a pin and they go, hey, go drive down here and send me some pictures. So I'm driving by just bulldozed corn everywhere. You know, there's random stocks up, and that what I didn't know at the time was early short corn was the only thing standing for miles. It was really fascinating. So I guess I'd be curious. Talk to me a little bit about, only share what you want to share. Tell me about your management from a fertility standpoint. You talked a little bit about population, but was your management similar to your tall corn? And then with what you learned in 2023, do you have takeaways that, hey, maybe I'd change up some management moving forward?
Our management that we have for our traditional tall corn versus the Preceon, it was the same thing. Everything was treated just the way we'd normally treat everything on the farm. We didn't do anything extracurricular that, you know, we thought was needing to be done. One, it was a dry year, so yep. We really didn't go out of our way to make stuff yield more than what it needed to be because we didn't have the moisture there. Fungicide, I think there is a big benefit to that.
Yeah.
Especially this year, we didn't do any, but I would seen that fungicide on a drought stress plant would have maybe made the stock a little bit stronger. And correlating that into the Preceon system, even though we did have a little bit of wind damage on that and leaning, I still think it would have made the plant a little more healthy and probably would have got a yield bump out of it. You know, you can't ever guarantee you're going to get a yield bump out of changing your practices. But other than that, our dry fertilizer program, everything's grit sampled, variable rate dry, and our liquid program, everything's put up front. We don't go out and side dress later on, which 15 inch row corn, you're pretty much top dressing.
Yeah.
So you're not doing anything, you know, knifing or wide dropping, your top dressing. And for what we're set up as, it's kind of hard to go out there with our sprayer and then come back with a dry spreader. And
yeah,
you're making a bunch of different tracks out
there.
Yeah,
so absolutely.
You're putting everything up front right away when you're starting the year. And I mean, it's worked well for us for a long time doing that. You just make sure you got your fertility in the ground top notch and everything else will do its part as long as Mother Nature's there. So,
I know that's hard to believe. You know, you mentioned earlier you were pretty drought stressed, and to think that you had, you know, some record yields in a year where you're drought stressed, that's crazy to think. So it's fun to see not only what this Preceon system does, but, you know, breeding in general. You know, I often hear my dad talk about the drought of the 80s.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine we'd have had 200 bushel corn in a drought even half that bad, right?
I that's what I was thinking last night. So obviously our listeners don't know this, but last night in the event where they were showing the yield data, right? And they were talking about maybe the areas where it was more challenging. And I was thinking 5 to 8 years ago, those numbers they were showing in challenging areas would have blown most of our minds, right? Like the rate of genetic gain and our expectations are just, it's just wild. So when you think about your 15 inch rows, so you were talking about, you know, this system is designed for those narrow rows. Long-term wise, incorporating tram lines for management, is that?
Down the road, you know, it's hard looking down the road, you know, tram lines, you're putting that gap back out there.
And yep.
I don't know. You're looking at these strips out in the field.
Yeah.
You know, I could see where tram lines would be beneficial. I know we have a neighbor that did tram lines and they went away from it. So it's kind of like, well, they did it. Now they went away from it.
Yeah.
Would that really be worthwhile doing?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We'll have to put you in touch. I got a good friend of mine that's actually going to be on here later. He's on 20s, but he's incorporated tram lines and he's got it to where it's a perfect system for him. So maybe just to, you know, again, just to make those connections and, and talk about stuff like that, it'd be good for you to pick his brain and
talk. I'd like that. Some further input on that because, you know, we're new to it and we're always learning. And that's what, you know, farming's all about is learning and trying new things and trying to better your operation because, you know, the ground we got's all we got. You know, you got to keep making it yield more to keep the profit there. And, well, we're out here to feed the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to wrap up, I would ask, you know, as we continue to ramp up production, have more products that we release within the Preceon system, what's your thoughts moving forward? Has it proven itself? Are you excited for more acres or what's your thought?
I am excited for it. After touring the greenhouse today, that was, they got some pretty high tech stuff there and I think they're going to have stuff figured out for 2025, and pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I'm curious, what was your key takeaway? You know, we have all this technology at the Miranda greenhouse that helps not just our short corn products, but also, you know, just our normal tall hybrids. What was the biggest takeaway, and what really stood out to you?
That the fact that they can have three growing seasons in 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, they can correct problems. You know, they have three times in a year to correct problems or try to fine tune that seed, and everything they can do from the kernel all the way, watch it from when it starts out to when it's finished in the pollination. I mean, they got some really, really in-depth stuff they're doing there. And I mean, like they said, they're more concerned about the plant, you know, the stock, leaves.
Yeah.
Yield's going to follow. You know, once you get the plant together, the yield's going to come with it. And they got stuff figured out down there. And I'm really excited to see what's coming down the line for Preceon.
Yeah. It's pretty fun going through that tour. And so I farm, and then we also have a DeKalb dealership, and watching growers recognize like the quality output of the reinvestment, right? So Bayer taking that money, reinvesting it, and then what's going to come out of that greenhouse is just wild. I mean, it's just about the rate
the
of gain.
The stuff that's good now.
Oh my gosh,
be that much better.
Yeah.
In 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think. You know, some of the things I think back to 15 years ago when I started doing this, and I just remember thinking, you know, people would talk about a 250 bushel farm average or a 300 bushel farm average. And it was like as crazy as saying a unicorn's going to walk out of the back room, you know, and now you see this rate of gain that's what they say today, 4X,
yeah.
Right? 4X, yeah. 4X what they would do in a standard breeding situation. So pretty fun. But Nick, as we wrap up, anything you want to share with our listeners about your experience or just feedback from this weekend?
You know, I'm happy to be a part of the Groundbreakers. It was, I'm truly blessed to be able to do this, and I've met a very good chunk of people here, and they've gave a lot of inputs, and I'm just truly honored to be a part of this. And yeah, it's setting history right here, you know. Hope this is the next great thing. So I'm just really happy, and I encourage anybody that gets the opportunity to jump into the Preceon system to take advantage of it, because it's truly something different.
It's wild to think about if this goes the way that it looks like it's going to go, some point in the not very near future, you know, probably a handful of years, you're going to be driving down the interstate, and this is going to be a standard part of the landscape of agriculture, right? Is short satured hybrids, which is pretty cool. And to think we're part of the group that got to do it first is really fun. So
yeah.
Nick, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a groundbreaker. I don't think it's lost on us that this is an amazing group of people here, because they lead, they're willing to take risks and learn. And so we're grateful for that. And on behalf of Bayer, really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're lucky to have Tim Kauser here, a good friend and a grower from Nevada, Iowa here. Tim, how are you doing?
Hey, wonderful. It's great to be here in Arizona.
Yeah, awesome. Well,
not necessarily on the podcast, just here in Arizona. Yeah.
That and the fact that 80 degree swing in the temperature from where we both came from.
It's going to be a negative 11 tonight at home.
I don't miss that. Yeah. So we're here, you know, we just toured Miranda this morning, or, you know, I guess you were this morning. So, you know, after last night's event, looking at some of the yields, some of the results of the Groundbreakers trials, this would be the second year you were part of the Agronomy Experience trials last year. You had the Groundbreakers trials this year. So you had full fields, two different hybrids actually, right?
Yeah.
So, walk us through, let's maybe go back to a year ago, you know, that was the first time you had short corn on your farm. So what were your thoughts, you know, going into a system like this, totally new technology, what were your thoughts? Was there some nervousness? Was there more excitement? Where were you at with short corn?
There's no nervousness to it. It's been talked about for a while. There's a lot of reasons to do it. And also, I just don't think there's a lot of risk in it. You know, I would support Bayer in coming out with a product like this. They're not going to let a farmer touch something that doesn't have equal yield parity to it. So the other thing was being able to see it in our plot last year against tall corn. And actually, that was kind of neat. At harvest, we were able to take some photos, and the Wall Street Journal ran an article about
seriously.
It.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yep. So Bayer made the front page of the Wall Street Journal. This is a big thing, you know, going forward, because honestly, what this is at a 30,000 foot view, this is corn that's being designed for a high yield environment. When you get to extremely high yields, what are your yield limiting factors at that point? Mainly it's green snap, it's weather, it's moisture. And so if you have irrigation, what's your next yield limiting parameter? As long as you don't have excessive disease, it would basically be green snap. And yeah. So population is, you know, you can raise population when you get a shorter stature hybrid.
And yeah. So and, this, and I know you being in the Nevada area, you were impacted by the derecho in 2020.
Yeah. 2020. August
10th. Yeah.
Monday morning.
So I mean, you were impacted by that. So I feel like just that alone, aside from, you know, maintaining yield parity with, you know, normal tall hybrids, that alone, I feel like had to get you excited.
Yeah. And being on 20 inch rows, I also feel like that would aid towards making it work a little better. You capture more sunlight early on. You can utilize your higher populations a little easier. But also stock size is smaller in 20 inch rows. It's a well-known fact that your stock diameter is less because your corn's closer together. It sees competition earlier in its life. You don't get sunlight down to the ear leaf. So yeah, being on narrow rows, I felt like this was a no-brainer to try.
So Tim, working with you is really, really fun because you, in a really great way, have a tendency to question everything, which makes your farm super fun to come visit. Talk a little bit, I guess, about maybe as you think about the Precyon system, what you've seen the last 2 years, maybe either on your own farm or just advice to listeners about what opportunities does it open up? What considerations would you make? And then maybe how did those correlate to observations on your farm?
Yeah, so this needs to be placed correctly. I guess after this year, my observation is that the hybrid still matters. Just because it's short doesn't mean that you can not worry about what hybrid it is.
Yeah. Corn is corn, right? Hybrids still matter.
Hybrids genetics still matter.
Yeah.
That's number one. And also, I don't think it's meant for every acre. Hillsides, low fertility, you know, spots where your corn head can't reach low ears, just... That's not the place for it. So this isn't a whole farm solution. This is a solution where you've got a farm that's got manure, it's got good drainage, it's got high organic matter, high potassium levels. This is a no-brainer for that. Yeah. So that's the opportunity that it fits. Now you've got to figure out where the sweet spot is with population. Population is what you have control over. So this is where, you know, I'm kind of in the camp that variable-rate population just doesn't work on our soils.
Yeah.
And this might be different. This might be where you can really ramp it up, where you've got excess moisture holding capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that was part of the learning experience the last few years, right? Trying to figure out where those sweet spots are. And I think the good thing with this, we know that you can maintain and plant at that 35,000 roughly, you know, to maintain yield parity. But if you have those nice sweet spots where you might have a little bit more water, you know, the organic matter might be a little bit higher. CEC might be a little bit higher. You know, you can take advantage of that and increase those populations.
Yes, definitely.
So I know riding with you the last few years, we saw some pretty good yields coming out of this. What's your thoughts on this compared to traditional corn?
It's hard to look at. So I'll just say that straightforward, that it's not aesthetically pleasing corn.
Oh, yeah. It's extremely hard. When I'm talking to a grower, it's extremely hard because I think we're all programmed. We think 300 bushel corn is nice, big, monstrous, pretty tall plants, right? And so with short corn, especially at harvest, it's a whole different story, right? We're so programmed and used to that.
That was the first time I ever heard about this. I thought, oh my gosh, what a job for the marketing team, right?
Right.
Because for our entire lives, we've been told you want this massive green plant, right? You want this huge dark green plant. And we're going to tell you that a 7 foot tall. And then my observations, the hybrids that were in the field this year, you know, they kind of came apart, right? Like they didn't have the tops came out, they dropped leaves, which isn't inherently bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, certainly it didn't have the same aesthetics.
Yeah, yeah, it's strange. And I've been with Kowser when he's harvesting some of this. It's strange because you're starting to harvest, you're going down that short corn pass, and you're like, oh man, this does not look like it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's doing 260, 280.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And because you can't see the ears, they're wrapped in the husk. And the tops are all out, so it covers the ears up.
Yeah.
And I guess compared to tall corn, I love nothing more than sitting in the combine and looking at the tassels. I mean, you just feel like you've got a big plant there. Yeah. You've got biomass, but...
going to be yield, right? Yeah.
When corn's short, we omitted some rows. We grew it in panels, what I call panels. So 3, 4, 5 rows at a time, and then you leave a row out. That row you leave out, you don't plant any less corn. You take that corn and put it to the rows next to it. So Sean, you were riding with me and you know, it's interesting. You got a 12 row or an 18 row corn head and you're only taking in 12 rows.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's yielding the same as a full header width. And just so the point here is we're messing with geometry, we're messing with sunlight and how it hits the leaves. But corn will respond to how it's planted next to its neighbor.
Yeah.
And if you give it room, it will flex the ear. And so that was the determination. Do we need to leave a wider row every so often to reduce canopy temperature, to get sunlight down in there, to make tram lines so we get the sprayer through there?
Yeah.
So
Tim, I mean, I got to ask you, you are the most innovative grower that I work with. And one of the reasons, I mean, I feel like I know my stuff pretty well when it comes to raising corn and soybeans. And you're that grower that always keeps me on my toes, keeps me thinking differently. And that's what, I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what we need to be doing to be better at what we do, right?
Challenge
we need to be trying everything. So I ask that because, you know, we have this whole new system and we tried a lot of stuff on your farm in the last few years. Where do you see this going? What do you think about trying next year with short corn?
Okay, short corn is just one option or one tool. Once you partner it with other things, I think the yield potential is even greater. So a couple of those would be either sub-drip irrigation or over-the-top irrigation. Then to go a step further would be to add a quality trait to it. So now let's put high oil genetics in here. So make 90% of this sterile corn and fertilize it with high oil pollinator. So now let's grab 30 cents from the ethanol plant. Let's have yield parity from that. Let's grab an extra 50 bushels because we irrigate it and not have down green snap corn. I mean, your revenue potential here is incredible. Yeah. Well, I know, Sean, you asked, like, why are you doing this? Why would you leave rows out? Why are you mixing tall corn in with it? What are you doing all this for? And it's like, I just want to see what sticks. You know, sometimes you just got to do that just to spark your interest. Because just having the whole field is one thing and you didn't change anything. You don't learn anything from that.
Yeah. So you've been somebody that literally since the day we met has always said, okay, I'm going to push the envelope. I'm going to try and learn every year. I think it's one of the fun things about working with Andrew is this challenge of let's go learn something every single year. If you think about, I'm going to say your standard farmer, right? The guy that's kind of been doing the same thing for a while, you introduce a product like this. If you said in your experience, all the stuff you've tried, one or two things you'd encourage a grower to think about kind of in year one, right? We can't eat the whole elephant. Year one, what are you encouraging people to think about?
I would say put your fields into buckets and really start managing for yield potential. So this last year, fertilizer got inexpensive again. Now you've got the opportunity to really utilize that potential. So let's find your fields that are well-drained, that are consistent, and let's use a hybrid like this on it with plenty of fertilizer and see what you can do. And it makes growing corn fun again.
Yeah, love it.
Can I ask real quick, what do you guys think? Like Sean, you being a dealer, like how does this change your business? How do you look at selling this to a farmer? Do you find it's going to be a challenge? Do you find that farmers are eager to try it? Or do you think it's a bell curve where you got extremes on each side and you've got the guys that'll plant their whole farm to it, even though they shouldn't? You got the guys that'll never touch it because they don't like the way it looks.
Yeah, I think honestly, my hope for it. So first and foremost, it's impossible to ignore that down corn is a terrible day, right? It that's always one of the worst days. My passion around it is that I think what Andrew's done such a great job of in my business is really pushing us to encourage our growers to think about how do we take wherever we are and learn something and improve something. And a lot of times it seems like both the reality, but also kind of the reluctance is it's easy to just say, well, I don't have access, right? It's hard to get into the field. It's hard to do that. And so when we talk about fertility and fungicide and nitrogen and really any form of management, if we truly have access to the field most of the growing season, I think it's an opportunity to take a farmer and maybe say, hey, we're not talking about like crazy wholesale changes here, right? Let's throw an 80 or a 160 in and maybe let's try variable rate nitrogen in season, or, you know, let's try a late season pass of nitrogen. Let's change up the timing of our fungicide application based on climatology, right? And so I think just easing the barrier of entry to what I would consider high management, because I think there's a segment of growers that are willing to do whatever it takes to push the envelope as high as they can. And oftentimes that comes with frustration and time spend and other challenges. And so I think reducing the barrier of entry, I think there's real value in doing that.
And then we had a grow earlier. If there's anybody in the state in the Corn Belt that knows about fatigue driving through tall corn, it would be you. You've been doing it longer than anybody I know. The difference I hear growers talking about driving through, you know, V10 or V16 short corn versus V16 or V10 tall corn, it's huge. And fatigue in a sprayer is a real thing, as I'm sure you know, right? So I think the biggest thing that this is going to change is not only the ability to do that, obviously, but that real fatigue of growers being, you know, just going through that, man, this is a lot on me. There's a big difference.
Like we talked about, you know, if you've never sprayed tasseled corn before, I always say it's like being out in the ocean. You can't get your head above water.
Yeah.
You just can't see the horizon.
Yeah.
That corn's so tall. And so I didn't get to spray the short corn this year with fungicide, but my hired man that did, he goes, oh, it's walking the park.
Yeah.
It was easy.
So much easier.
You can level your boom out.
And that matters. You go over acre or an acre, you know, as we progress and have more hybrids, that's a big deal. That matters. Right. Yep. That's going to impact the quality of that application, how much corn you run over, all that stuff.
The other thing I would say, Tim, when I think about like customers and how to place this product, you know, certainly I would agree with you. I don't think it's a wholesale change, right? It's not like throw away everything we know about conventional hybrids and go to short corn. But I also think there's something nice about a step change, like a moment in time when we say, okay, we have a product that's easier to manage, because sometimes you run into this idea that like, oh, I tried that. You know, and oftentimes the, oh, I tried that is like something that happened like 15 years ago, right? It's not like, oh, we tried that 2 years ago and didn't have success. And so I think as we push people to think about a lot of the things you do every year on your farm, just the ease of access, I think is really encouraging. And so, and then obviously being able to dangle a carrot, right? So saying, hey, when you go do these things, you have the opportunity for it to pay off in a real way. Because I think sometimes we try things that don't, and that's really frustrating. You go through a bunch of extra work and a bunch of extra effort, spend money, and it doesn't come back to you. So
absolutely.
I think Bayer's done the way that they've handled the launch of this product, I think for me is super encouraging, because, you know, you could kind of do this behind the scenes and just kind of limp it into the portfolio. Instead, they've really drawn a hard line and said, this is a new way to think about something we've been doing for a really long time.
Yep.
And I think that gives us an opportunity as advisors to really talk about how to take what we know about regular statured hybrids and incorporate it into management. So I'm really encouraged by that.
Yep.
Okay. So when you do go to incorporate short corn on your farm, you need to be well-educated about the specific hybrid you are planning and manage the population accordingly. Because they will have pop can ears and they will have long baseball bat ear, different hybrids. And the population difference between those two will matter.
Yeah.
So know that going into it.
Yeah, but it's still corn, right? Hybrid's hybrid. You still got to know that stuff.
You still got to know it. But like you said, the barrier to entry is basically just a different bag of seed.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you try it?
Yeah. No, I really appreciate it.
Tim, as we wrap up, today was a big day. You got to experience something that I wish all of our growers could see in that Marana facility. Because we ask a lot, you know, we have the highest priced seed in the market. And I think it's
important. We do?
I think it's important for our growers to see that investment, right? It might not impact you that year, other than the yield potential and performance of that product. But I think it's important. We have a facility that nobody else in the world has. This drastically separates us from any competitor out there in the market.
Time.
So tour in the Marana facility, what stood out to you? What was the cool wow factor when you toured that?
A couple of things. One, in breeding corn, it's a game of numbers, right? So the more the more revolutions you can get, the more plants you can get, the more successful you are going to be. It's a game of numbers.
Yep.
The other is specific within the greenhouse was the row spacing. I thought that was intriguing.
You did notice that.
Yeah. there was a reason why they were 15 inches apart going one way and 20 inches apart going the other way.
Yeah.
And
light utilization.
And then there was space between the crates. So they had their alleyways. That was intriguing. Other than that, it's kind of like buying a new tractor and getting that gold key tour. It's so neat. Instead of just writing a check and getting a pallet of seed, you actually got to go see how it's all the work and effort and money and investment and the engineering that came behind all those genetics. Genetics are a hard thing to buy because you can't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just trusting
your own trust
the team
and data. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
by the way, I've never seen so many gold keys in my life as when I looked at your dad's shelf.
I don't know why you buy something and not go see it built.
Yeah. I've never seen so many gold keys. Just picture, like, you know, my DeKalb stuff,
like a shelf, like a dresser display case this big by that big shelves. You just gold keys lined.
Yeah. Tim, as we let you go, enjoy the rest of your weekend. I guess it's really important to us. This weekend's a neat opportunity because we've got, you know, 150 or 200 growers, whatever's here. And it's a lot of the most progressive, hard driving, excited about agriculture people. You've been one of those people for my business. Lucky to consider you a friend and someone who challenges the way I think. But on behalf of our podcast and also Bayer, just really appreciate you continuing to push the envelope, ask questions, and then ultimately be a part of something as cool as this. So really appreciative of that and have enjoyed the opportunity to spend the weekend with you.
You bet. Same goes to you guys. And I think as farmers, we need to have the right attitude going forward. And that is being optimistic, looking at how you can manipulate the different tools that you're exposed to for greater yield or greater profit. And don't expect Bayer to do all the work for you. You as a farmer still have to do your job.
Try new things.
Yep. Yeah. So,
well, you'll be on, I talk about chasing 300 tomorrow. So I got three slides dedicated to trying new things that has, the picture of your farm and all the stuff that you did. So
Cool.
Words to live by.
Yeah. Tim Kauser, Nevada, Iowa. Thank you. Appreciate you being here for us.
Okay. See you guys.
All right, Andrew, we're back. Go ahead. Introduce our next guest.
We're lucky to have a grower here that was part of the Groundbreakers trial for 2023. So Cameron, introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from, what you do.
Cameron Sorghum Fry, Wyoming, Iowa, fourth generation corn and soybean farmer. We've been lucky enough to have Precyon to get a good look at and get to see what's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
So you got to help our listeners out. When you say Wyoming, Iowa, I immediately think of like a cowboy on a ranch. So help our listeners. Where's Wyoming, Iowa at?
Eastern Iowa, kind of located about an hour from Mississippi.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Very good. So exciting weekend. We're obviously here kind of just celebrating, you know, frankly, first and foremost, being part of a new technology being launched in agriculture, right? And you know, you guys have been working with it for a couple of years. Andrew's been close to it. I guess before we talk about Precyon, tell us a little bit about your family farm. Share some details about what you guys do.
Nothing too out of the ordinary, I guess, but we do, we put a lot of plots in every year for DeKalb, Masgrow. So we get a look at a lot of stuff as it comes out, which is exciting to look at the future. We did go through the derecho of 2020. So
you experienced the importance of strong stocks.
Yeah. If we could have had that year, it would have been interesting because that was a long fall.
Oh yeah. You would have been like 100% of our acres, please.
Yeah.
I think that was really when I was kind of introduced to the concept. And I remember thinking that year, you know, you had the financial cost and the emotional toll of going through that harvest, right? But you also had all of those things you're trying to learn on your farm, right? All the tests you're doing, all the plots, all that data that's just gone. And for progressive farmers, I know one of Andrew's biggest encouragements to us every year is learn something, right? So no matter what, test something, try a different concept. And I remember that year, my heartbreak obviously was for all the growers that were going to go through the pain, but it was just a year that we lost everything, right? I mean, besides the yield loss was all of the research, all of the effort that we put into learning. And so pretty big emotional toll.
Yeah. So as we continue to build on this discussion around, you know, the Precyon system, talk to us about what were some of your initial thoughts hearing about this? Did you have any worries planting it on a full field? Was it more excitement? Where were you at in the beginning of this process?
Dad really wanted it. And we would like to have it even a year before, you know, we really wanted a good look at it because mostly, you know, we've all been through wind events. Unfortunately, it's not fun for anybody, but you know, we had confidence in it because of what we've seen, you know, and got some looks at it and some small trials ahead of time. I mean, every year for us, FieldView makes it so easy where we mess around with all kinds of trials, mess around with populations, nitrogen rates every year. Going to 40,000 on a whole field was a little...
I bet that really scared Dad and potentially Grandpa.
Yeah. It was a little nerve-wracking, but we've ran... I mean, everything's variable rated anyways, so we're planting some in the upper 30s, you know, close to that number on small pockets every year, and we're not seeing issues. And so I felt confident in it, you know, and then once it started coming up, when we started looking at the stalk and the root ball, we're like, wow, it's going to stand.
Yeah.
It's, and it can handle it.
It takes some pretty wild weather, I think, at least from what I've seen. We had a lot at, you know, 36 to, I guess, probably push into the low 40s, but it's wild at 36, 38,000. I mean, it's hard to even scout. You know, you walk through it and it's like you can't even push. Yeah.
It's a workout, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you guys are on 30s, right?
Yeah, we're on 30-inch rows. You know, we plant some fields at only 33 and some of our hills are maybe 34. Our normal average on good dirt is probably around 35,000. That's kind of where we found the happy spot, I guess, anyways.
So tell us how you did. You mentioned you do a lot of plots for DeKalb and Asgrow. How did your short corn hybrid stack up to all the other hybrids that you planted?
So in the whole field, we're very pleased with it. We were extremely dry this year, you know, like a lot of eastern Iowa. We did catch a couple rains, and we still ended up at 267 on 80 acres of 6203.
Wow, nice.
We had a couple real good hybrids right across the waterway, same farm, different field. But the exciting part was one of them would probably be our top three hybrid, I'd say, forecasted for next year. And it ran right with it.
Yeah, you
know,
nice.
That's
good
impressive
to see.
Yeah. You know, we came from one farm and I just cut 8 end rows off of it to get to this other field instead of taking the combine all the way around with the head on it. And I went through it and it's like, whoa, we're bumping 300 bushel corn here. And we hadn't seen that yet, you know, cause we were so dry, you know, just everything was such a spread this year. We combined from just over 200 bushels to just under 300 on whole field averages. So for it to land above average was awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that every year you guys, you know, try a bunch of different stuff on your farm as you obviously had great success, even in a drought. As you start thinking about moving forward, are the wheels spinning on practices you'd like to try or things you'd like to implement on your farm because of the access to the field with the short statured hybrids?
We run a Heggie anyways.
Okay.
But it was so much nicer going through that short corn. I mean, I was running faster. Machine was running cooler. Didn't have to worry about buildup. Machine was a lot cleaner.
All those anthers on the back of the
when you're in tall corn, especially one thing that we found over the last handful of years of spraying with a Heggie is wait for the dew to get off, or else it makes a mess out of the machine. Well, guess what? I can go run first thing in the morning the short corn because those tassels aren't hitting the windshield, and you know you have to run the windshield wiper all morning for the pollen, and then you spend 2 hours that night washing.
Stop
it.
And run your fan to blow off all the anthers on there.
We carry a broom in the tender truck just to, you know, every time we fill, we clean the back off, and you don't have to do it short corn. You just go.
Did you have one of the pieces of feedback I heard? It was a guy in Northeast Iowa, I think. He mentioned that the boom height, he hadn't thought about the boom height. When you lowered the boom to be closer to the tassels, the boom was not in the way, but you're staring at the boom where historically it was out of the way. Was that an interesting challenge?
Not really. You just look forward. Yeah. You have to, you know, he can't ride in the sprayer with me because it just, especially in tall corn, it gets to be kind of mind boggling watching that tall corn all day. Cause all you're doing is sitting there looking almost straight ahead. Looking between two rows all day. Short corn, you can actually, I mean, you're looking out and you can see stuff. Probably seen 15 deer when we were spraying fungicide, but I got in that field and one jumped up and it was a buck. You could actually see it.
That's awesome.
He's going over the rows. Cool.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I guess it's always fun to do these because you kind of pick up on little things I hadn't thought about, but that fatigue is real, right? I mean, spraying tall corn is that's a real fatigue. And so it's funny because we know a lot of guys, we make recommendations to whether it's side dress pass or fungicide. And sometimes the pushback is, I don't want to go out and tall corn. It's just fatiguing to do, right? And so that I guess I hadn't really thought about that. Like obviously access is real. But even just a more enjoyable experience when you're going through the field is something.
Yeah, the same thing. We push a 15 knife nitrogen bar with it too. And we can run in probably 6 foot tall corn without really hurting much, you know, with that nitrogen bar. It's got pretty long drops on it. That's a nice thing too with short corn. I mean, it was the last thing we side dressed because we weren't worried about getting a pickle on it, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So you mentioned using, you know, Climate Field View to map out some of these trials. So with the short corn hybrid, what did you say, 6203?
Yeah.
Did you guys do any variable rate populations and did you see any response? Granted, we were dry, obviously, so you might not see the potential response, but what did you see?
So the whole field was variable rated. We were from that, I think, around 36 range up to just over 40. And then I also put in some variable rate nitrogen on the when I was doing the Haggy, when I was doing the side dressing. So we kind of found this year, but like I said, this year's so dry, so we'll see what we find again next year. But this year we found it was on bean ground, had 80 units up front with the planter and with some sulfur. Then it had the remainder with a haggy around V8, V9, right around 200 units was kind of our median. You know, yep. where we put 225 on, there was a little bit of a bump, but not really to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Ignacio is somewhere slow clapping right now that we're applying nitrogen when the plant needs it instead of all up front. So that's super encouraging. By definition, I mean, not to overdo it, but by definition, that is one of the goals of this process, right? Is to say, let's feed plants when they need fed. Let's go into the field when we're supposed to be in the field rather than what is maybe convenient or what we're restricted to based on the hybrid. So yeah. I know a lot of agronomists would be applauding right now hearing that as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And back to the population, kind of the same thing on it. That 30, 38, 39 range this year was kind of where it was. We picked up some yield on, you know, the over 40 stuff.
Yep.
But as far as dollars and cents, you know, that's where it was. But we did this, we grew this crop on a 10 inches
very,
of rain.
Very little rain.
So, what can we do if we have what we actually need for that?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what gets me excited. You know, anytime, whether it's short corn or any other hybrid, when you start pushing populations like that to maximize yield, as long as you don't go backwards in yield, right? Yeah, so it's only potential, you know, if you actually do get that rain. Yeah. And that's what I like. Everything that I've seen from the high populations, we're not going backwards anymore. We're not losing yield. It's only potential, you know, if we actually get the rain that we're kind of used to in the Corn Belt.
Well, it was a little nervous for us too, being so dry. And we're like, okay, we got an extra 3,000 to 5,000 plants an acre out there, and not enough water to begin with. So, you know, me and my buddies talked about all year, not just about the short corn, but about all of our populations. You know, what are we going to see? Because are we going to lose out because we're not getting enough to begin with, and then we're putting more plants out there? But I think that root mass on this,
it's pretty awesome, isn't it?
It's impressive. We had a field day. Had invited a bunch of growers out to look at it. And I had cut a row out, so we had 60-inch gap. And one of the other growers was out there, and he's looking at it. He's like, that stalk. And he grabs that stalk, pulls it over 60 inches, and puts it on the ground, and it doesn't snap.
Wow.
And everybody, like, looks at him. He does it with, like, 8 more, and none of them snapped. He's like, that's awesome.
That's super cool.
That's a hell of a sales pitch right there.
Yeah, right.
And before you even dig and look at the roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I wish we videotaped the podcast, because I think one of the things that's fun is, as we've been down here this weekend, is just seeing like the excitement from guys talking about, from farmers talking about how this stuff worked and, you know, creating the excitement about what's possible when you have products like these. So I guess as we kind of maybe wrap up a little bit, we're down here in Arizona. We're obviously here having a good time. I'm sure people can maybe make out the band in the background, but did you get to go out to the greenhouse today?
Yeah.
Yeah. God. So as a DeKalb customer and somebody that's really a part of what Bayer's doing, just tell me about your experience out there and your takeaways.
You know, so I've heard about it and heard about all the new with the breeding 3.0 and how it's working, but actually seeing it in person and realizing what's coming down the pipeline and how fast they can turn stuff around now. I mean, it is super impressive. And my wife was with me, you know, and wasn't a farm kid growing up. And, you know, she's picked up on a lot of it since we've been together and married, you know, but she's like, you know, the nice part was, she said, I don't understand everything that's going on, but they explained everything really well. And it's just the amount of technology and the way they're doing things is unreal.
It's hard not to get excited.
Yeah.
I feel like with all these products coming out of breeding 3.0, as we make that next step to precision breeding, I feel like the products right now we have are that good.
Yeah.
To think about where we'll be in 5 years.
Where will the future take us?
Yeah. It's hard to not get excited.
You've got the ear of a penny for your thoughts, Nation. Any other takeaways you want to share? Any excitement?
I think we're good.
Man, I appreciate you being here. I think it's something that we really want to be super appreciative on behalf of you joining us, Andrew and I, on the show, but also just Bayer and agriculture as a whole. You know, the group of people here are progressive. They think really well about their farms, and then they have an innate passion to go out and try and learn. And I think that's something that it's really, really critical to call that out, because that passion and eagerness to learn is what will continue to, you know, just move the needle. And so appreciate you being here. Thanks for sharing your story with us, and wishing you a little more rain next year, but continued success.
Thank you. Thanks,
thank
guys.
Thank you again.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Andrew, I'm excited to introduce our next guest. Kelly is joining us today, and I'll let Kelly tell you a little bit about where he's from and where he farms, but it's definitely one of my favorite places on planet Earth. So Kelly, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your farm?
Okay. Yeah, I farm up in Northwest Iowa in O'Brien County. But this is going to be my 41st year of farming in 2024. Oh, nice. But I farm with two brothers.
Okay.
And we have corn, soybean. I produce or finish about 10,000 head of hogs a year. Okay. I've got a channel seed business.
You guys go by Newenhouse Farms?
Newenhouse Farms. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And, so we've been, my brothers and I have been working together since 2003. We sold three lines of equipment, bought one big line back then, and went to 20-inch rows and corn and soybeans and everything nice. Across the board, and been enjoying that process ever since, our practice.
So for our listeners to understand, if you took a backhoe and went out into one of your fields, how deep is the topsoil? I mean, you are like in just the paradise of black soil.
We've got good dirt in O'Brien County. And, you know, I always talk about that. It's the highest priced land in Iowa, and it's for a reason. It's high producing land. You know, we got probably 16, 18 inches of good topsoil, and then we got good clay base that's moisture, it holds moisture. And, you know, we have to deal with more problems with excess moisture, dry conditions. Yeah. So we pattern tile most of our farms and just work with that. But, you know, last few years we've been under extreme droughts or dry conditions, and we've still produced tremendous corn and soybean crops.
This is where you guys shine with those soils.
Yeah.
I'm assuming with a 10,000 head, a lot of manure, high fertility. Tell us a little bit about maybe how you think about fertility and maybe what a traditional year of input management looks like, nitrogen, fertilizer, that sort of thing.
You know, that the hog facility, it's a group of neighbors that got together. So I'm not excessive on the manure side. We get to cover some of our acres, but we've got our fertility all in the high to very high ranges. And over the years with our 20-inch rows, and a lot of people don't understand this, but we planted continuous corn and we build our organic matter from like 30 years ago, it's 3 to 3.5. And today it's 5 to 6.5.
Wow.
And so having organic matter like that, that nutrient holding soil and carbon holding the soil health with that, we've reduced our inputs and our fertilizer applications. I've actually garnered a variable rating on pretty much all NPK. You know, we do put our micronutrients, sulfur, zinc, manganese, and boron for the most part, because we don't have the acid rains we used to have.
Yeah.
So we need to add that. But it's precision plant farming is what it is. And with precision planting and the new technologies we've got with variable rating and stuff, we can have this stuff pretty precise.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, as we continue to discuss this Preceon system, you know, we've had a day where we toured the Marana facility. Last night we celebrated, you know, the Groundbreakers trials and looked at some of the data. Tell us about your experience with short corn and let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
You know, this is a new concept. Where were you sitting before you were asked to plant this whole, you know, a whole field of short corn? What were your thoughts? What were you thinking?
I was excited about the opportunity because planting 20-inch rows in corn, the corn plant likes to grow taller. It likes to grow to the sun.
Yeah.
And when I walk into a cornfield and I'm 6'1" and I have to look up at ears.
Yeah.
And I know there's going to be, if we have a wind, we're going to have a problem. So I love the idea of having ear placements at 30 inches off the ground instead of 7 foot. And we usually focus on the channel line up, trying to find hybrids that are shorter anyway. But when I had 2 years ago, I had my first opportunity with Preceon corn. I did about 10 acres of 111 day that. It was my best yielding corn that year. Yeah. And it had 360 mile an hour wind events that summer.
Wow.
And it stood through all of them. I didn't have goose.
So you were sold 2 years ago.
Yeah. I said, how much can I get next year? And they said only 95 acres. You can do another plot for us. And I've been impressed with it since day one. And the whole first season, you know, I did everything it was supposed to do as far as take the wind, have stock quality, we'd still fly on our fungicides and stuff, but I said the final thing was going to be the yield.
Yeah.
How it performed. And that's how farmers make our money is by yield. And I got into the field about 100 yards and it was at 304 bushel an acre. And I said, okay, this is going to be pretty good stuff. So I think I can work with this.
So you've been sold year after year.
Yeah.
So you're you're ready to adopt short corn, I would imagine.
Yeah, I told them I'd put my whole farm to it if we had the hybrids enough choices. We like to plant about 8 to 10 different hybrids across our operation, and you know, when the time comes that that's available, I think we'll be pretty aggressive on the short corn.
Yeah.
So I guess obviously pretty glowing review, right? So excited about the product and excited about the future. Over and over and over again, we hear farmers talk about the protection from the wind, right? And you reference those 60 mile an hour winds. So obviously that's really important. When you think about maybe, let's say, zoom out to 3 to 5 years or 5 to 7 years from now, if we have the same success of being able to offer a lot of different varieties and different placement, we kind of know the products. What do you envision changing as far as management? I mean, what practices do you think that you can amend, whether it's timing or style of application or population? Just where do you see the changes potential on your operation? Or maybe you're progressive, maybe for some of your customers.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I think the opportunity, especially, and I'm more, I think it's more attractive in narrow row corn.
Oh yeah,
short stature because of canopies early, with a narrow rows and population pushing. You know, we've got a lot of dairies in our area, big dairies, 6,000 head, 4,700 head, and we've come to find out that it makes very good silage corn.
Yeah.
It's got high potential there in the silage if you push the population.
Yep.
And you know, with the narrow rows, we plant normally 39,500 is our pop. That's our normal rate. Yep. We do variable rate, so it varies a little bit. But even at that, with the spacing of 9 inches at 39 to 42,000, 9 to 10 inch spacings, you still got a lot of room for the plant to produce and have a good stock quality. So I think it's exciting new technology, and since the yield is there it takes the wind, I think there's huge potential.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I mentioned earlier, today was that day we toured the Marana greenhouse, and I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yep.
I feel like it's one thing to hear about it, but it's another thing to hear some of those numbers and actually tour and look at it. What were your thoughts walking through there? What stood out to you? Was there anything that just wowed you walking through that facility?
Well, I was just impressed by the research center that they have there and the constant work they're doing to speed this process up, to bring new hybrids to the market. Just thinking, you know, I never would have thought like Arizona would be up to you to have a research center for corn producers.
Yeah.
But, you know, you recognize the fact that the sunlight hours and all that stuff, and, you know, they pretty much climate control it with the humidity and the moisture. But I was impressed, and I know that's one of my biggest reasons. I've been a channel dealer since day one, and the Bayer organization and the money they spend on research and development, that's key to me as a farmer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to buy products that are well-tested before they get to the farm. And this is part of that.
I find it fascinating. And I kept thinking, you know, as someone who buys these inputs from my own family farm, but then also, you know, helps people make those decisions. It's too bad we can't have every corn customer have an opportunity to walk through a facility like that and then think about where do they want to invest their dollar. Cause I know when you see that there's just a significant appreciation, at least for me, of the commitment over a long period of time, right? Those things don't happen quickly, right? That's a very, very long vision. They were talking about, you know, Rob Fraley talking about that facility, you know, a decade ago, and to see it in person is pretty special. So I guess as we wrap up, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. I think the one thing that Andrew and I both really want to reiterate is being here is an honor for both of us. Sitting in the room last night, just recognizing the quality of grower and the progressive nature of thinking well about their farms and pushing the envelope. But then frankly, coming and being an encouragement to other people to, you know, to do this really well. You know, for me, it's fun to promote products we believe in. And I think that's really encouraging. I think it's also fun to really help like sow seeds of hope and excitement in agriculture, because there's always things to be concerned about, but it's really fun to see some of these new things. So parting words from you,
you know,
for our listeners.
I'm just excited to have the opportunity to be involved in this testing and getting this data, show this product in and work with a company that is focused on the future. You know, what we've seen in the last 10 years in technology is amazing, but I think we're just getting started.
Yeah.
And there's so much more potential in what we can do as a corn farmer across the United States with the right products. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And even more excited once we get multiple hybrids where you can plant.
Yeah. I can't plant everything to one hybrid. Yeah. It's going to be need about 8 or 10 at least. So.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for being a groundbreaker, your support of Bayer, and hope you enjoy this weekend. It's well-deserved. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks again.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Our Two Cents. We want to explore products, concepts, and science that you, our listeners, are excited to learn about. Email us at apennyforyourthoughts@gmail.com. That's apenny4yourthoughts@gmail.com, or reach out on our social channels at Sean Blumgren and at SciPathology. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to our next episode.